This podcast was recorded on the date indicated with the link. The views and opinions expressed herein are as of the date recorded and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities. Such views and opinions may differ from those of DoubleLine Capital or its affiliates and are subject to change without notice. DoubleLine has no obligation to provide updates or changes. Welcome to Monday Morning Minutes, hosted by DoubleLine's fixed income asset allocation strategists and portfolio managers, Samuel Lau and Jeffrey Mayberry. Please direct any comments and suggestions to minutes@doubleline.com or see us on Twitter at @DLineMinutes.
Welcome to this week's episode of DoubleLine Monday Morning Minutes. I'm Jeff Mayberry with Sam Lau.
Hey, hey.
Recording just after the close today, July 22nd. I think we'll give everyone a quick summer update and then let everyone enjoy the last week of July.
All right. Let's see here. Things are looking pretty green across the board here, across the major indices that we look at it. I'm seeing green throughout. So let's start off the S&P 500. That's up 2.6% week to date. Still down 16% on the year. Nine out of the 11 sectors are flashing green for the week, led by consumer discretionary, which is up 6.8%. It still looks like it's clawed back a bit. It's the second worst performer for the year to date now, so that this week definitely helped bring it up from being the worst performer, but still down 24%. On the year. The worst performer now is consumer services, down nearly 28% on the year, having been up this week 73 basis points. Rounding out the other.
I was going to say only energy, the only positive sector year to date still. So
Before it looks like utilities was trying to hang on, but perhaps the last two, maybe 3 weeks have hurt it a bit. So it's pushed that back down to negative, where it's now down 1.5%. It is the worst performer on the week-to-date basis, down nearly 50 basis points for the week there. Across other areas of U.S. equities, the Russell 1000 up 2.5% for the week. Russell 2000, the small caps up 3.2%, both down high teens for the year-to-date. And Russell 1000 growth up 2.9% and the value down 2%, both of those on the week.
Up 2%.
Sorry, yeah, I gotta get this negativity on my head, maybe. So, yeah,
so used to it being negative.
yeah, I should be celebrating this positive week that we had across these major indices. So, Russell 1000 growth up 2.9, Russell 1000 value up 2.0%. For full clarity, there and moving across the board, looking at fixed income land. Looks like treasury yields across the curve under 3%, with the exception, probably, let me pull it up, of that loaner, the 20-year note, which gets a little bit less love in terms of demand, perhaps. The yield there is 3.23% as I'm looking at that. Everything else that I'm looking at that I look at here is sub 3% for the week ending yield. So starting out the 2-year treasury, that closed today at 2.98%, in line actually with the long bond, also at 2.98. The 10-year treasury is closed the week at 2.76%. Looking at the 2s-10 spread, it's tighter by 22 basis point, or sorry, by 1 basis point here. So it's inverted by negative 0.22. Right there. So 22 basis points inverted on the 2s-10s. And it looks like the 3-month spread to the 10-year treasury note also is catching up here. It's now at a positive 30 basis points. It is 22 basis points tighter from last week alone. So we did have some moves today across the yield curve that did bring us down below 3% across the curve, with the exception of that 20-year. And the move, it looks like today also caused that 3-month tenure to kind of, I mean, what would you say, maybe at that 30 basis points positive spread between the 3-month and the 10 year, does that put us into recession watch on that as well? Or not recession watch, but are we starting to think about that flashing recession sign as well? I know it's not inverted, but it's getting pretty darn close there.
Yeah, I definitely think that is, it is on the, in watch. You know, this, the academics like to look at the 3-month tenure, whereas those of us in the markets like to look at the 2-year, twos tens, because the 2-year is a little bit more, you know, moves a little bit faster than the 3-month. The 3-month tied so closely to the Fed funds rate. And, you know, we have Fed meeting next week. They take August off, and then September looks like they're, you know, they are likely to go, 75 in both meetings, it seems like. Whereas, you know, it was only a couple of months ago where we were discussing whether the Fed is going to pause and not hike at all in September after like a 25 in July. So markets move pretty quickly in terms of how aggressive the Fed is moving on the front end. So I think that, we'll continue to see the 3-month bill continue to climb in terms of rates, and that we'll get that academic point will be inverted relatively soon.
Yeah, if that happens and inverts for 5 consecutive days, then that in combination with the inversion that we've had for a number of weeks now for the twos tens, that's a pretty strong recession signal if those were to both invert here. So it does look like it has the potential to happen fairly quickly. So we'll keep an eye on that. Moving across to what that meant for the various fixed income sectors and the broad aggregate, the U.S. Bloomberg bond aggregate is up 1.1% on a week-to-date basis. Continuing that trend of green this week across the indices, that puts it on a year-to-date basis down 8.5%. The best performer that we look at here is the EM market, up 4%, still down 19% on the year-to-date basis, though. So it's got a lot of wood to chop if it wants to get closer to at least flat, for the year.
Well, 4% in a week will help.
Yeah, definitely helps there. On the flip side, it's while still positive, but bringing up the rear is U.S. Treasuries. That is up on around 1% for the week, down just almost 9% on a year-to-date basis. And then looking at IG corporate credit, that's down 13% on the year-to-date, up 1.6% for the week. So overall, across the broad base fixed income sectors there that we look at, everything in the green. So quite a strong week for fixed income. And then moving on over to the commodity market, commodity also putting up a positive print for the week to date, up 2.75%, making it a positive 18% for the year. It was a bit of a mixed bag for the commodity market here. The WTI crude oil is still less than $100 a barrel. It closed today at 94.65 on the front month futures contract, putting it down 3% on the week, but still up almost 26%. So a lot of that macro fears of this recession that we're looking at and seeing the warning signs flash is definitely having an effect on the price of WTI crude oil. Across the board there, it seems like it's a smattering of positive, no real rhyme or reason that I'm seeing. A few of the energy components up in the green for the week, but some negative, and the same for industrial metals and ag as well. But overall, on the broad basis, the Bloomberg Commodity Index, as represented for the commodity complex as a whole, up pretty strong number there. And looking at gold up 1% on the week, and perhaps some of this commodity strength that we're seeing is on the weakness of the U.S. dollar. There, it looks like the Dixie Index is down 1.4% on the week, after putting up a couple back-to-back strong prints that we've seen on a weekly basis. Even Bitcoin is showing a positive week again this week, up 8%. It is now at around $22,600 a Bitcoin. Still down over 50% though for the year-to-date basis. So we'll see the rest of the year has in store for Bitcoin as our proxy for the digital asset space.
That's interesting. I can't remember the last time we had stocks, bonds, and commodities all positive on a week. Certainly feels like a long time, but it was probably like 2 weeks ago or something. It doesn't, I guess I'm no lawyer asking the question I don't know the answer to.
but we're not getting paid for it.
It seems like a while. Yeah, it seems like it's been a long time since we've had all three, you know, big components of the markets up.
Yeah. Let's not bring up our lawyering skills up into this thing. Otherwise, we'll just be talking about in circles for the rest of the next 15, 20 minutes or so.
I told everyone up top, we want a quick summer update. And, lawyers never give a quick update ever.
Yeah, I guess when you get paid for billable hours that are rounded up, you know, there's no reason to. So with that, before we dig ourselves too deep of a hole with our friends from compliance on here on live as well, let's shift it over to what happened in the macro land this past week.
Yeah, it was a quiet week. We did get jobless claims on Thursday. Initial claims rose slightly from 240,000 to 251,000. Continuing claims were up slightly also from up 48,000 to 1.384 million. That's the highest, the 251,000, the highest initial claims print since November of 2021. We've kind of started to see the trend in initial claims has been kind of trending higher if we look at like a four-week average, because the numbers tend to be pretty noisy. It's been trending higher since early April. The continuing claims number, you know, while it is higher, it's still very near the post-pandemic low. So the jobs market or jobless market continues to be strong, but things are certainly pointing to maybe a little bit of a softening there. On Thursday, we did get the LEI. It fell 0.8%, which is worse than expectations of falling 0.2%. That brought the year-over-year number down to 1.4. So usually we look at if it goes below zero, that's a sign that we are, you know, a recession is forthcoming. There are some false positives. So even though if it goes below zero, we don't necessarily think it's a, you know, sure thing that there's a recession. But if you kind of couple that with the inverted yield curve, it certainly seems like recession will be forthcoming. Next 2 months, we have a 1.0 and a 0.7 rolling off. So we certainly, if we get zeros on the LEI month over month, we're still going to get to a negative number. So it looks like over the next couple months, if not even the next print next month at the end of August, that we could go negative there. And then this morning, we did get the S&P Global, formerly Market with an I, U.S. Manufacturing and Services PMIs. These are the July preliminary numbers. The manufacturing number was 52.3, was expected to come 52.0. So that was a little bit of a positive surprise there. But the services number came in at 47.0. So not only was it below 50, but it was well below the expectations of 52.7. You know, Mark Kimbrough, our one of our analysts, always likes to look through this report. And he took out the quote from the chief business economist at S&P Global. And his quote was, the preliminary PMI data for July point to a worrying deterioration in the economy. And then, you know, he goes on about, you know, output's fallen at a rate not seen since 2009, and that manufacturing has stalled and the service sector's rebound from the pandemic has gone into reverse. So looking overall at the PMI numbers, certainly not a positive note. So, you know, if you kind of do the composite of manufacturing and services, it's right there around 50. So really looking at it, it really is a case of, you know, I guess as we've talked about in the past, if you look at the services number, you know, recession for imminent, manufacturing still relatively strong. So really, you know, pick and choose your data point. We're still on the cusp here, and it tends to be the case. We're on the cusp of two different metrics can point you in either direction in terms of whether we're, you know, I guess the question is, are we in a recession now, or is it it's still in the future? And that's, we'll see what I'll front run myself a second here, and we'll see what that is when we get the GDP number for the second quarter here on Thursday.
Yeah, and then the other thing that I guess we can consider too is the competitor for these manufacturing services PMI, which I think has a longer run of history there, is the ISMS. I forget what it's called, Institute for Supply Management is what it is. And while you're talking about that, I was checking out to see what the next release date would be for that, and that's on August 1st, so a little bit over. So I guess in 2 weeks, we can be talking about that and seeing if we get a little bit of a confirmation here of what we saw between the manufacturing and the services PMIs.
Yeah, it's always interesting when they, yeah, they put out the preliminary July ones with a week left in July. So
So hopefully not too many surprises from that. But if so, then things aren't looking that great, at least from the services front for this last print.
And we do have a busy week next week. So the things to keep an eye on, we do on Tuesday, we do get the S&P CoreLogic 20 city home price index for May. This is for May. So it's still, you know, it runs with a lag. The estimate there is the home prices are still estimated to rise by 20.6%. But down slightly year over year, but still a very strong number there from the home price side of things. Wednesday, obviously, we have the Fed, the big Fed meeting. There's a 9% chance, or when I looked this morning, there was a 9% chance. Let's look right now. Still a 9% chance of a 100 basis point rate hike. So it seems almost a foregone conclusion that the Fed is going to raise by 75. And we didn't get any Nick Timiraos type news stories this week during the Fed blackout period to point us in the 100 basis point direction. In fact, I think there was a piece earlier in the week that kind of said said that the Fed is eyeing 75. So it seems like 75 is a done deal. So really it depends on the press conference and the questions that Jay Powell gets on kind of how the market takes things. But 75 seems like a done deal.
Yeah, I recall that article. I think it came out over the last weekend, Sunday, if I remember correctly. So it's, you know, I don't know if it's poor Nick Timiraos, but whenever you see something like that, you just wonder if he's the mouthpiece or if that's his actual opinion. So either way, it seems like I would agree. It seems like 75 basis points is there.
Yes, we'll see how Powell talks, because the rate later in the week, we do get some important data points. So on Thursday, we get the GDP. For the second quarter, this is the first estimate. I guess the estimate is a negative 1.6%, and if that would be two consecutive quarters of negative real GDP, and historically, that is a recession. So it depends. We'll see how that number comes out. The GDP now is pointing. I think it is kind of corroborating that with a negative 1.5. Thursday, we also get the jobless claims numbers, as we talked about. We'll see if they start ticking up there. And then on Friday, we get a lot of big data points. We get the employment cost index that it's for the second quarter. That's expected to fall to 1.2% from 1.4. If you remember back in November, this is the data point that Jay Powell, that spooked him, that he moved up the quantitative tightening side of the Fed based on this number. And so that was so that's certainly a number to keep an eye on. We get personal income and spending for June. Income expected to be up 0.5, spending up 0.9. So both of those are actually up from last month. And then we get the PCE, so the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. The headline PCE month over month expected to be 0.9%, which will bring the year-over-year number to 6.7. Core up 0.5% month over month, and so a 4.7% year-over-year. We have some pretty strong numbers in core PCE rolling off. So if we kind of continue in this path of a 0.5-ish type number, we would expect core PCE to kind of trend in flat from here. So in this 4.8 type range. So we really need need the month-over-month numbers to come in relatively weak to kind of get below that, to kind of the 4% number or even a three handle for the Fed to maybe, I wouldn't say have a mission accomplished, but really look at it and say that at least the trend is going in their favor.
Yeah, and just trying to recall what Powell was saying. At least he wants to see it flat before it falls. So hopefully we'll see if we get that little bit of a bend there or a flattening. We'll see how he responds. But certainly does seem like some of the economic data has been coming in weaker, and it seems like it's going to be a busy week next week in terms of market impact based on that lineup that you just gave, starting out Wednesday and then Thursday with the GDP for Q2. So all eyes on that next week.
That's right. And it'll be, all eyes on the, we'll get our popcorn for the Jay Powell's press conference.
That's right. And I saw that you have the week off next week. So are you going to be joining us, or are we going to have a special guest host to sit in your stead?
I think you should try to line up a special guest host, and
all right.
I'll get the popcorn for the press conference and then the popcorn for the recap.
Sounds good. Hopefully it'll be an entertaining one from both fronts for you.
Hopefully Jay's not too entertaining.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for this week. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to us out there today, Monday Morning Minutes. Please don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already so you don't miss an episode. You can pick us up each Monday before the bell, and we should be available on all of your favorite podcast platforms by now. If not, you can hit us up on the email at minutes@doubleline.com or on the Twitter at @DLineMinutes to send us any questions, comments, or suggestions.
And don't forget, on our Twitter, Jason does put a bunch of charts and all the things to keep an eye on when they come out. He will put out the data points and the charts. So it's always a good follow there. Don't forget, you can find more information about DoubleLine at our website, DoubleLine.com. YouTube channel is YouTube.com/DoubleLineCapital, where if you missed Jeff Sherman's webcast from, I think it was last week, you can catch the macro portion of that webcast on our YouTube channel, and subscribe to Sam's other podcast. If you haven't already, I'm sure most of you have. It's the Sherman Show. You can follow Jeff and Sam on Twitter there at Sherman Show Pod. Hope everyone has a great last week of July.
Yeah. Thanks everyone. And good luck out there.
Represents DoubleLine's intellectual property. No portion of this presentation may be published, reproduced, transmitted, or rebroadcast in any media in any form without express written permission of DoubleLine. DoubleLine has no obligation to provide any updates or changes. To receive permission from DoubleLine, please contact media@doubleline.com. Neither DoubleLine nor any of its affiliates makes any representation or warranty as to the accuracy or completeness of the statements or any information contained in this podcast and any liability therefor, including in respect of direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage, is expressly disclaimed. DoubleLine is not providing any financial, economic, legal, accounting, or tax advice in this podcast. The receipt of this podcast by any listener is not to be taken as constituting the giving of investment advice by any DoubleLine entity or individual to that listener, nor to constitute such person a client of any DoubleLine entity. The portfolio risk management process includes an effort to monitor and manage risk, but does not imply low risk.
Copyright 2021 DoubleLine Capital.